Hi, everybody. Welcome to Two Off the First. It's November the 9th, 2023. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for being here with us. We're going to talk through a couple of things today. One, I totally did not expect to talk about till I saw it on my Twitter timeline today. And then the other will be something else that we get to, which I'm still kind of figuring out as I'm talking through this with you. But we'll talk about two things today. If you want to get a hold of me, Ryan at thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on Twitter, X, Threads, and Instagram at Ryan Ballingy. We're presented by our friends at Swanee's Golf. Go to swanees.co. Use the promo code GolfNewsNet25 to get 25% off your first order. Black Friday is coming. You get your personal Black Friday from Swanee's and get 25% off all their new stuff for fall and winter. Sleeves, which you're going to need sooner than later, even though it is starting to get dark at 5 o'clock now, which is truly the bane of a golfer's life. But some great quarter zip jackets, pullovers, rain jackets, everything that you need. Hoodies for the winter. And for the late fall golf at swanees.co. All right, so first thing we want to talk about today is, again, something I did not anticipate talking about today. And it came up in the DP World Tour broadcast this morning for the Nedbank Golf Challenge, which is in South Africa. It's their next last event of the year. Next week's the season-ending tour championship, DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. And they're at a place in South Africa called Sun City. And the golf course they're playing is Gary Player Country Club. And naturally, Gary Player's name being on it, he's the architect and one of the biggest ambassadors for golf, certainly one of the biggest ambassadors for golf in South Africa. Ernie Els is probably the only one that's even comparable among the living. And Gary Player went into the booth for the DP World Tour event, and somehow Augusta National came up. And the commentator who was talking with Gary Player is a woman, and I don't know her name. I'm sorry, I don't know it from the clip. And it might have been Alison Whitaker, but I really am not certain. And she was talking about Augusta National, and Gary Player is talking about, in response, them admitting Annika Swornstam as a member. And he said, you know, he thinks it's great that they've admitted a woman, said they used to not allow women, and now they do. Kind of forgetting that Augusta's had female members for like 10 years now. Not to say that that is hugely progressive, but it's been a decade. Like, it's been going on. We've been doing this for a while. And there are more than, I don't know how many female members are at Augusta National, but it's not like there are two or three. It's probably, I'm guessing, 6 to 10 now. I don't know the answer to that, but that's just my guess. And Annika Sorenstam's one of them. And that news came out from, I think, Adam Schupak at Golf Week. It was a nice get. So that comes up, and Gary Player calls Annika the best lady golfer, quote-unquote lady golfer, in the world. Well, he's like, well, she was at one point, and it was great to see, kind of thing. And then the commentator kind of takes it a step further and says, and what they're doing with the Augusta National Women's Am, too. And then out of nowhere, Gary Player goes, I disagree with you about that. And then 4 to 5 seconds of very awkward silence between the commentator and Gary Player. And God knows what was happening in that booth. Whether the commentator was looking at him like, what the heck is that? Or I cannot even imagine. Because that if I were sitting there doing the commentary and that happened, I'd immediately shoot laser beams over like, you just said that on international television. And do you want to kind of clean that up at all? Do you want to add any context to it? And probably the shock and awe of that statement did not lead to a follow-up question, at least it's in the clip that I saw, of there's no like, well, what's your gripe? Like, what do you not like about it? Because I think if you read into this charitably, you could come up with reasons for him to not necessarily love the Augusta National Women's Am. And they could be positive reasons in a way. Maybe. One could be, I wish they played every round at Augusta National. They play the first couple of rounds at Champions Retreat, which is nearby. And Champions Retreat is really nice. It's an amazing facility. But maybe Gary Player wants all the rounds, all three rounds played at Augusta National. Maybe he wants it played at a different time of year, because then they could play all three rounds at Augusta National. And it doesn't turn into kind of golf weeks or Augusta weeks between the Augusta National Women's Am, the finals of the Drive, Chip, and Putt, and the Masters. Maybe that's it. Those would be charitable readings to the positive for disagreeing with what some facet of the Augusta National Women's Am. But if you just take it to itself, most people are going to think he means it shouldn't exist. That the Augusta National Women's Am is bad. It's bad for women's amateur golf. It's bad for women's golf. It's not growing golf. And there's no explanation given whatsoever from player or one pride from the commentator to explain the situation. So you don't know. You really don't know what he thinks and what the impetus is for that or what would correct it in his eyes. None of those things. You don't know. And so the end of the clip, and the clip's been seen probably by more than 1 million people now. I'm guessing close to 2 million. No Laying Up got tagged on the original person who shot it with their phone watching TV. I'm sure millions of people have seen it by now. And I have not seen a response where like, well, from Gary Player or a handler or anything of, well, what he really meant was X, Y, and Z. And that was, you know, he wants it to be better or something. I haven't seen any of that. So I'm taking it to mean not the best and meaning he doesn't think it should be around or it's not right as it is. And if I were going to have a complaint about the Augusta National Women's Am, my only one would be, I wish they played all three rounds at Augusta National. I understand why they don't, but I wish they did. Other than that, I think they do a great job with it. I think it feeds into the concept of having Augusta National Weeks, Augusta Weeks, because it kind of, it's really more like a 10-day thing now than a 7-day thing. And I think that's awesome. That's a great celebration for golf. And in the initial years when it came out, when it was announced, going, okay, well, now they've put it up against what is now the Chevron on the LPGA, their first major. It used to be the ANA out in Rancho Mirage in the desert. And that was not great because then the major kind of got upstaged by Augusta National, which was unfortunate. Now that's moved. It's moved venues. It's moved dates on the calendar. It's kind of worked itself out. Got a better sponsor. Gets more money. In the end, that was okay. I mean, I think. Gave up tradition, which kind of a bummer. But moving forward, it puts more money in the pocket of LPGA players. So I can live with that. But to just kind of go out there and say, yeah, this kind of stinks. I don't really like that tournament. And then just leave it alone. I cannot believe that. I mean, I can, because Gary Player says stuff like that. But what's to be gained from saying that? And I tweeted in response to the No Laying Up retweet, which, you know, a lot of people pilloried Gary Player. But the second I knew something bad was going to happen was, one, I saw the tweet. And then, two, I heard Gary Player call Annika Sorenstam a lady golfer. And then I knew something not great was going to come out. Please, can we as a society, and I don't mean I'm not speaking to you. If you're listening to this, you probably are like-minded to me. But could we just call men and women who are golfers, golfers? We don't have to call them lady golfers or female golfers. Augusta National didn't admit one of the best lady golfers of all time. They admitted one of the best golfers of all time. Annika Sorenstam is an incredible player. She's an incredible golfer, not female golfer. It's okay that there are it's totally fine to have differences in terms of you have an LPGA tour, you have a PGA tour, you have different products, you have a female-only product, you have a conceptually everybody product if you can qualify on the PGA tour. All that stuff is fine. You can have those differences. There should be those differences. But you don't have to qualify someone being a great athlete as a, like, you don't have to call, Sue Bird. You don't have, or Sabrina Ionescu, or Breonna Stewart. I'm trying to think of, like, really great WNBA player. Aya Wilson. You know, all these great WNBA players. You don't have to call them the great female basketball players. Just call them a great basketball player. And you go with that. So, I think we can do that with golf, too. We could just say, hey, she's a great golfer. Players in the LPGA are great golfers, not great lady golfers. So, we can move on from that. And it just kind of leaves this weird void. of, okay, well, what do you actually think? So I would actually like to hear what he thinks. And if he thinks it's not a great tournament, okay, you've made your point. We can disagree or agree and go from there. But yeah, it's just very strange to me. So I did not expect to see that this morning, but that's one of the things that happened today. So we'll go ahead and take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about another story after this word from our sponsor. If you're like me, you've wanted to buy gold for years. Lots of commercials out there, but who can you really trust? I don't want a bad investment, but didn't want to miss the boat either. Sound familiar? Fortunately, I've got great news. If you have an IRA or 401k and want to buy physical gold, eliminate fear and uncertainty from the process using the new Gold IRA Company Integrity Checklist. It helps you evaluate and choose the best gold IRA company. I used it personally to vet Augusta Precious Metals, and they are absolutely phenomenal. Use this checklist to choose the best gold IRA company. Text to get your free Gold IRA Company Integrity Checklist today. Text GOLF to 68592. Again, text GOLF to 68592. That's GOLF to 68592. Or go to AugustaPreciousMetals.com. All right, welcome back. The second story today is a little bit of, I won't say a gripe. It's not a gripe session, but there is an interesting point that was made here. And to be totally candid, this has a little bit to do with golf betting. Not explicitly, but it has to do with kind of the embrace of it. And this week's tournament on the PGA Tour. So this week they have the Butterfield Bermuda Championship. And that's in Bermuda, as you might imagine. Port Royal Golf Course, Southampton. So like southwest Bermuda. This is the, I think, fifth time they've played it. And it's a it's an interesting tournament. It was kind of meant to be an opposite field event, and then it got upgraded to a full field event in the pandemic, and it never went back the other way. So now it's part of the fall. It is the lowest purse of the fall, $6.5 million. Still nothing to sneeze at. You're gonna make over $1 million if you win. And it's an important week because it's the next last week of the fall. So the top 125 cards gonna be set up by the FedEx Cup Fall Points list. So, it's a relatively important tournament. In terms of the fall. I'm not saying tons of people are watching. The ratings are not particularly good for the fall, although it was like 215,000 people wound up watching the final round of the Worldwide Technology Championship. Helps that it was in prime time a little bit, but so that was cool. But this week is notoriously bad for one thing, and that is data that is legitimate for scoring. So for whatever reason, and I don't know, I've never investigated this enough to know the exact answer why, but every single year at this tournament, weird things happen with the data. And they'll do the shot link scoring, or whoever's out there doing the scoring and voluntarily entering. They don't do the full strokes gained shot link data stuff that you do in domestic events. So between the Zozo Championship, the Worldwide Technology Championship, and this one, three of the seven events don't have all of that full strokes gained data. They just don't do it. That's true of international events generally on the PGA Tour. But not across the board, which is also kind of strange. But nevertheless, that's a caveat to all of this. So there's no traditional shot link data. And it feels like every year there's scores that are entered one way and then immediately changed. And, there's like, usually, I feel like it was last year, there was someone who was like, oh, there was a hole one on a par four, and they show the card on the PGA Tour website. You're like, that's amazing. But then you have to remember, it's the Butterfield Bermuda Championship, and you got to wait an hour because they may change it. They might change it within 5 minutes because someone might hit the wrong button, or I don't know what happens. I want to say it's like the Ted Stevens, it's just a bunch of tubes and they get crossed, like old school internet, but I don't know. So that happened today where someone supposedly had a hole in one on a par three, and then it turned out to be a three or something like that. And then Vince Whaley, who supposedly had posted 10 under par for his round today and was going to be in the lead, or at least had a chance to take the first round lead. And there were a number of people that I follow, including the folks behind the Lost for Words show, which is a golf betting show that airs on GNN Radio, and they do a great job. And one of the hosts had put out a slate of first round leader bets. So you can bet on the player who would lead after the first round. And if there's a tie, then they split your odds by the number of players that were tied for first. So he had recommended Vince Whaley. So he thought he had him in at 10 under par and had a really good chance to cash. I think he said it was like a 66-1 ticket that he had on the guy. And then a little while later, they updated his scorecard and he shot 8 under instead. He's no longer in the lead. Alex Noren's in the lead because he shot 61, tied the course record, which was also set last year by Taylor Pendrith. So it went from, all right, the guy's at 10 under par, this is great, to, oh, he's 2 back of the lead. And there's no explanation given. There's no, our bad, you know, oh, we corrected the score. It just changes. And it's extremely frustrating if you're trying to watch this without TV coverage. And that's typically in the morning. And it happens throughout the entire week. And then obviously you get to the weekend, more of it's on TV. The important part's seen on TV. Kind of harder to screw those things up. And, you know, there's more attention on that. But whatever is being done at this tournament, it never works right. And it's really weird, and it's pretty frustrating. And Joe Idone, who does the Preferred Line show, which is also on GNN Radio, and he does a great job with that. And he talks about sports betting. He goes, well, people are betting on this stuff. Well, people are betting on this stuff in real time, too. The PGA Tour has embraced real-time betting, you know, betting on the results of a single shot, a single hole, how a threesome plays a par three, those types of things. But they also have embraced live betting, particularly during a tournament. So if, you know, a certain player, like if Vince Whaley had shot 10 under 60 or, you know, 61 or whatever it was, and then, you know, the odds market changes because he now has a better chance of winning the tournament. I mean, 18-hole leaders don't typically win PGA Tour events, but they do have better odds, so the market's going to price them differently. And you might go, well, you know, maybe I should bet him. Well, once they change the score, then his odds change. And now your odds to bet him in the tournament, you got a higher price because he is behind by a couple strokes. So you're kind of screwing people out of the opportunity to have money, maybe come back to them if they wager on the right person, because of bad data. Same thing will also happen on a micro market, which is smaller, like that first round leader market. That updates in real time. If Vince Whaley did shoot 10 under 61, odds are he's going to be first or tied for first at the end of the day. Because someone's got to shoot 60 or better to beat him. So his odds are going to be quite bad. I mean, they're not going to be really good. So you might go, okay, well, I'm not going to bet on anyone else because I think he's got it in the bag. Or you might bet on him in real time at a worse price because you think he's in the lead. And then it changes and your bet's dead because Alex Noren shot 61 and Vince Whaley didn't. And again, it all comes back to the quality of the data that you have and data having so much value now for sports leagues because of sports betting, because of licensing out that data to other entities like sports media companies and stuff like that, where you can show leaderboards and those types of things. And so you got to have good data. You've got to commit to that. You've got to get ShotLink somehow to these tournaments and the ones overseas. You've got to get into the Zozo. You've got to get into the worldwide technology. You've got to get into the Bermuda one. I don't care what it takes. You've got to do it. You got to do it on the court, on the events where there are multiple courses. Because the North course at Torrey Pines, next week we've got two courses. You only get ShotLink data on the host course. Pebble Beach, you only get ShotLink data on the host course. Now it's going to go down to two courses, but there used to be three. So you had a total black box of performance data on the other two. You didn't know how a player was playing. You just saw their score that day. That's not particularly helpful. So I think there needs to be an investment, especially in the amount of money that is now in golf, for the player and for the media rights that are being paid for it. You need to have better data. Make it available to everybody. Put the infrastructure in place and deal with the cost. And for the same reason, I think the same thing should happen on the LPGA. It's going to go a long way in helping that product. I know that they have done more of that with KPMG Insights. I hope that the LPGA is soon able to debut something that will allow us to kind of see that better on their website. It would go so far for that product. So far to be able to show that kind of data in real time. It would mean a lot. I hope that's coming. And I'm a huge data geek. It's important. I think it tells you an important story about how good professional golfers are and how much better they are than us, how they compare to each other. And I think having that data would go a long way. So hopefully we can get this cleaned up, but yet again, we've been butterfielded already, and I'm sure it's going to happen tomorrow, which is a bummer. All right, it's going to do it for us today on the show. Thank you so much for spending some time with me. I appreciate it. We'll be back with another show tomorrow. My kids are off for Veterans Day. Thank you to everybody who has served their country, whether it's the United States or elsewhere. We have listeners from around the world. We're celebrating it here in this country, but that doesn't mean just because you're not in America, your sacrifice to serve your country, to serve society isn't important, isn't special. So thank you for that in advance. We'll be back with another show tomorrow. Shoot me an email, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com, if you have questions. Or you can find me on Twitter, X, Threads, and Instagram @RyanBalaji. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody.